Well, good morning, everyone, and Merry Christmas. The time has come for us to begin our worship, and we're grateful for your presence here today. We just want to extend warm Christmas greetings to everyone and your family. We praise God for an opportunity to meet. And we missed Easter, but we didn't miss Christmas, so praise God for that. Are there any announcements for today?
Money, the donations counted up, and we got $122. I picked out $60 of seeds, where they send the seeds so that they can plant their own plants. I got, I don't know what you call them, bees? What do you call bees in a group?
Hive.
Got beehive, got a flock of chicks, and then there was one other thing, my mind escapes me, and then any odd money left over I put on there to most needed. But thanks again. I think that's fairly good for not many people coming on a Sunday because of all this, but I think we did good, and I think the Lord will bless that whoever receives it. So thank you again.
Praise God. Wonderful. $122 for Heifer Project. Yes.
Pastor Tracy, on behalf of the congregation, we'd like to present you with a little something to remember us by while you're doing your sabbatical.
Okay, well, thank you so much. Wonderful.
Yeah, so you don't forget this
way back. Yep. Am I supposed to open this now? All right. So, it said open it now.
Yeah.
Well, I couldn't forget you guys. That's for sure. Oh, wow. Okay. Wonderful. It's a plaque here about our pastor. Thank you.
And it has a stand. You can stand it
yes.
On the back.
Mm-hmm. Wonderful. That will go in my office at home. Thank you so much. All right. Are there any other announcements, Bob?
I'd like to thank everybody for their kindness and their cards and their well wishes and everything like that in our mailboxes. What came through the mail itself was beautiful, was uplifting, and we just appreciate all those concerns throughout this season, special season, and all through the year. And again, don't forget to check your mailboxes back here because there's more cards for each and a lot of folks. And also, our ministry, the first of the year, of course, everybody's aware that Tracy will be off for 3 months, and Brother Dillon right here will be sharing one service a month with us. And I'm so gratified that when I called him, he was so willing to accept and put his experience up on the front line and be able to share that with us in our services to come. We're grateful for your presence. Thank you for being here.
Thank you.
And
yes,
thank you to welcome. Every one of you. I hope you all have a very Merry Christmas. You know, you can't do it without Jesus.
Thank you. Yes, Frank?
I just want to thank everybody for their prayers and cards and so forth on my behalf. Well, I'm rehabilitating from this knee surgery, and I seem to be getting on fine. I'm not my knee, my hip.
Yes.
I've already had a knee. Yeah, she says brain surgery.
We can all use a little help in that department.
But I want to thank all of you for the cards and prayers and also our Christmas cards and et cetera, the visits and so forth.
We're just glad you were able to make it today. Welcome.
When we know we're in the hands of God, we know we're going to be taken good care of.
And also we have Christmas treats that will be handed out at the end of the service. So thanks to Faye and Steve for their work on that. So don't forget to pick up a Christmas treat on your way out today. And next Sunday is our last Sunday of the year, so please come and join us as we celebrate the new year. Without any further announcements, let us begin our worship with the prelude. call to worship for this morning is from Psalms 89, verses 1 through 4. I will sing of the mercies of the Lord forever. With my mouth will I make known your faithfulness to all generations. For I have said, mercy shall be built up forever. Your faithfulness you shall establish in the very heavens. I have made a covenant with my chosen, says God. I have sworn to my servant David, your seed I will establish forever, and build up your throne to all generations. Selah. Would you pray with me, please? Father God, it is with joy in our hearts that we come into your house this day to celebrate the first advent of your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, our Savior. Thank you, Lord, for sending the Messiah. Thank you for all that you have given to us in the past, Lord. And we just are mindful of our many blessings today, and we look forward to spending time with our family and loved ones. And so, Father God, we just pray that your Holy Spirit now would come and that your name would be lifted up on high in this worship hour. Holy Spirit, have your way, illuminate the scriptures, and teach us anew the meaning of Christmas. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. And we'll have our first carol, It Came Upon a Midnight Clear. for our Advent reading, I'm going to ask Sister Deb if she'll share that with us at this time as we light our Advent wreath.
The fourth Sunday of Advent is love and peace. The fourth candle of Advent is called the angel candle and symbolizes peace. This name comes from the fact that the angels announced that Jesus came to bring peace, Luke 2:14. This week we are reminded that Jesus came to bring peace to our hearts and to our world. This week we focus our hearts on the Lord of peace, who came down from heaven in the form of a baby. God knows that we are in constant battle against fear. Fear wants to cripple us, to push us to react rather than carefully respond. Our fear steals our joy. God has given us the gift of peace so we can live joy-filled lives. John 3:16-19, for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believeth in him shall not perish but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. Whosoever believes in him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe stands condemned already, because they have not believed in the name of God's one and only Son. This is the verdict. Light has come into the world, but people love darkness instead of light, because these deeds were evil. Isn't it amazing these words were written so long ago, and we can put it to today's world? May we bow our heads for a word of prayer, a prayer for peace for our world. Lord, would you bring your strength and peace to your people? Would your presence be felt by all who seek you in a powerful way in this Advent season? Turn the hearts of mankind towards you. We pray that the lost turn to you and find an unshakable peace that nothing else in this world can offer. And all God's people said,
amen. Amen. Thank you, Deb. Thank you. And now I'm going to call on the Baker family here. They have a special presentation they'd like to make.
Good morning. We just lost our dad on Thanksgiving Day. Our mom died 4 years ago. When mom died, we all had our dad, but no, now both of them are gone. We feel so lost without them and miss them very much. So our family will always love and be there for each other the way mom and dad taught us to be. Dad's sister Mary just died too, so our family wants to give a donation to the memory of our Aunt Mary. We are going to miss and love her too. Our family wants to give some donations to the memory of our mom and dad too. One to the Ladies' Aid, one to the church, one to Sunday school, and one to Bible school. We want to wish everyone a Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year, and God bless you all, and pray for all the ones that's not well, the Baker family.
Thank you so much. We appreciate that. We want to enter into a time of sharing joys and concerns, and so this is a good segue into that. Who has a joy or a prayer request this morning? Yes.
Our cousin on my father's side, we found out this week that he thought he was having gallbladder problems, but it ended up being that his aorta area was being affected. So Friday he was operated on. His name is Gary Garber.
Gary, okay.
And keep our cousin Faye Reese. She, as far as we know, was supposed to be moved from the hospital to Northampton yesterday. She ended up having C. diff, which is an infection in the bowel, and is very contagious and very serious. We pray that she gets good recovery. also keep my niece's father-in-law, Russell Hartman, in prayer.
Yes. Thank you. Bob?
I don't have everybody written down today that I normally, but God knows who they are, so I'd like to continue to lift them up. And of course, Frank's here in front of me, and we're so happy that he's doing well with his hip replacement. Brother John, his knee coming along well. And so many others have had ailments, and it's good to see Jeff and his good wife with us here this morning, too. And we're just appreciative to be here, and I want to ask God to just touch his old body. It's running out of steam. We've got to get another engine. But anyhow, I thank you.
Thank you, Bob. Over here? Yes, darling?
I continue to remember Larry on the prayer list and his family as they take care. And our country needs all the prayers and the leaders down there. And
yes.
Okay.
Actually, I was going to say Larry wants to thank everyone who has sent cards or called. He doesn't really answer the phone too much, but he gets the messages and
good.
Much appreciated.
Okay, give him more love. Faye?
Steve got a call last night from Ronnie Iver's family that's around the corner, and he took a turn for the worse, so they really need prayer over there for his family, for his healing. And also Steve's cousin, Dawn Bryan, the husband and wife, they both battled cancer.
John and the second name?
Dawn and Brian.
Dawn.
Okay.
Thank you.
Her maiden name was me.
Thank you. Yes.
I'd just like to lift up a prayer request from the Myersville congregation. It's not my home congregation, but one that I am close to. Two of their members passed away on Friday. Patty Fogle and Jim Gray Sr. Patty, she'd been in recovering for a while. She had had COVID at one point on top of a multitude of other health concerns. She recovered from COVID, but it had done permanent damage to her heart.
I see.
And it was actually her birthday on Friday when she passed.
Yes. Good friends of our family as well. Yes. I'll go here, Deb.
Have some unspoken requests, and I have a joy that I can see my prayers being answered, so that is a blessing.
Amen.
I also want to keep the Paul and Linda Bittner. They were worked at Moore/R Donnelly for years, and they were in an accident this past week, so please keep Paul and Linda in your prayers.
Okay. Thank you. And Frank?
Yeah, I'd like to remember a few that's in our development there. Dean Toms and another friend by the name of Ron. I can't think of his last name, but the Lord knows who it is. They're having health issues and problems. And of course, Dean just lost a brother. And we have several others that passed away that was close friends and members. We want to remember their families. And also, I want to again thank everybody and the good Lord for taking care of me and getting me back here to church. But it just doesn't seem right in this church.
That's right. Any others? Let's come to the Lord in prayer. If you'd like to kneel or remain seated, let's bow our heads, and we'll finish then with the Lord's Prayer. Let's pray together. Dear Heavenly Father, as with praise on our lips that we come into your house this day, we're just so grateful, Lord, for answered prayers and for your many blessings to us and for this special season of the year. Lord, our hearts are full, and we are just mindful of our many blessings that you have given to us already. We look forward to Christmas Day. Thank you, Lord, for Ronnie Anders' surgery and his recovery. He's doing well, and for John back with us, and we just are grateful for guests and for unspoken requests. Lord, we're grateful for in many ways that you're moving in our world and in our lives and in our families. And we do pray, Lord, for this current situation with COVID-19. We pray, Lord, that you would indeed bless the new vaccines that are coming out, and we pray that I would have an effectual working in our society, and that the numbers would come down. And so we just ask for a hedge of protection around all of your people, especially those who are on the front lines, our nurses and our doctors, our EMTs, and our police and fire people. Just everyone, Lord, who's working with people, Lord, we just pray you keep them safe. We are grateful, Lord, for your blessings to us. And as loved ones, some will be traveling home for the holidays, Lord, we just ask a special blessing upon them as well. God, there's many that are needing healing. Received a call. A friend of ours, Mary Speck, was taken to the hospital. We pray that you would bless and comfort David in the loss of his wife, Patty. We pray for the Myersville congregation and their loss, and along with Jim Dre as well. Lord, it is difficult when our smaller congregations experience so many absence through death. Lord, we just pray for leadership and direction, and that your will would be done in these congregations. We think of our own here, Lord. Continue to be with Larry and Michelle and bless them. Pray you would continue to grant healing blessings here to Frank and be with Pat. Their neighbors, Lord, Dean and Ron. We think of others that have been mentioned here by name, Gary and Ronnie. And we think of Don and Brian. We ask, Lord, that you would be with Paul and Linda. We pray, Father, that you would bless each situation. Those with have been having surgeries, Lord, we just pray for you would continue to mend and knit everything together and cause things to work effectively. And we just ask your blessings in this way. Comfort those who have lost loved ones. We think of the Bakers and Sailor family, and think of Joy, think of the Lukes. Think of my neighbor, or her husband, or her dad passed away this year. Just so many deaths, Lord. We just hear of the over 300,000 COVID deaths, Lord. Would you comfort those families that are be meeting for Christmas without their loved ones this year? We think of our shut-ins, Lord, and we pray that you keep them safe and healthy. So be with Betty Schaff and Donna Sennett and the Hargetts and Aunt Laura. Lord, we pray your blessings upon them and help them during this time as well. Lord, you instructed us to pray for our leaders, and so we just can't help but think about our country, and we pray for a smooth, peaceful transition on January the 20th. We pray for these additional races that will take place in Georgia. We pray, Lord, that all that you've put into positions of power and prestige, that you would surround them with wise counselors, help them to make good decisions, that we might live lives that are peaceable. We thank you for those who are serving in our military, and we pray especially that you'd be with Elijah and Caleb and meet their needs. We thank you, Lord, for our local leadership and our state leadership, and so continue to grant wisdom to Governor Hogan and to our county executive Jan Gardner, our mayors, all those that provide leadership during this difficult time. We have to make some hard decisions. We think of businesses that are on the verge of closing, and so Lord, we just pray that you might move in a mighty way and bring about your will for the days ahead. Thank you, Lord, for those who are sharing the good news of Jesus Christ. And so we want to lift up our missionaries home and abroad. We pray that during this time of peace on earth, goodwill to men, Lord, that many would soften their hard hearts and hear the gospel message and turn to your gift of love. And we ask that you might move in a mighty way in all of these things. Hear us as we pray our Lord's Prayer. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. And now we'll have a second carol. Our scripture reading is a classic Christmas story taken from Luke 2. And it came to pass in those days that a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered. This census first took place while Cornelius was governing Syria. So all went to be registered, everyone to his own city. Joseph also went up from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth, into Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be registered with Mary, his betrothed wife, who was with child. So it was that while they were there, the days were completed for her to be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son, and wrapped him in swaddling cloths, and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. Now there were in the same country shepherds living out in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. And behold, an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were greatly afraid. Then the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be the sign to you. You will find a babe wrapped in swaddling cloths lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly hosts, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men." So it was, when the angels had gone away from them into heaven, that the shepherds said to one another, "Let us now go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has come to pass, which the Lord has made known to us." And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. Now, when they had seen him, they made widely known the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all those who heard it marveled at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. Then the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen as it was told them. May God add his blessing to the reading of his word. Well, Merry Christmas. It's Christmas Sunday. It's finally here. Don't you just love hearing and saying that word, Christmas? After the year we had, we need a little Christmas, right? This Friday is Christmas Day. Time has gone by so quickly. I think for Christmas, it brings just hearing that word brings many memories, a flood of memories, thoughts and feelings, and along with the traditions and the many practices that we have to celebrate it. The word Christmas began to be first used in the English language in the 11th century, and it means Christ's Mass for the worship service that was held for the first Advent. Christmas has come to mean many things to many people. And yet, without the main focus on Jesus, we can celebrate Christmas in a secular way and really miss the heart of the true meaning of the season. As we say, Jesus is the reason for the season, right? Jesus is the reason for the season. That's why we celebrate Christmas. And so the word Christmas should really remind us of the promises of God, the love of God, and what he has done for us in order to provide for our salvation. One of my favorite poets, Helen Steiner Rice, has a poem. It's entitled, "Each Christmas God Renews His Promise." And it goes like this. "Long, long ago in a far land far away, there came the dawn of the first Christmas day. And each Christmas we see that promise reborn that God gave the world on that first Christmas morn. For the silent stars and the timeless skies and the wonder in a small child's eyes, the Christmas songs the carolers sing, the tidings of joy that the Christmas bells ring, remind us again of that still silent night when the heavens shone with a wondrous light. And the angels sang of peace on earth and told of men of the Christ child's birth. For Christmas is more than a beautiful story, it's the promise of life and eternal glory." However, for some, Christmas can be called a blue Christmas, especially if they have lost a dear one close to this time of the year. I found out last Sunday evening that my uncle passed away. He was 96, the last of his immediate family. Someone has said that death leaves a heartache no one can heal, but love leaves a memory no one can steal. And so, in memory of the ones who have passed on, and for those that are grieving, I'd like to share this poem. It's entitled, "My First Christmas in Heaven." I see the countless Christmas trees around the world below, with tiny lights like heaven's stars reflecting on the snow. The sight is so spectacular, please wipe away the tear, for I am spending Christmas with Jesus Christ this year. I hear the many Christmas songs that people hold so dear. I have no words to tell you the joy their voices bring, for it is beyond description to hear the angels sing. I know how much you miss me. I see the pain inside your heart, but I'm not so far away. We really aren't apart. So be happy for me, dear ones. You know I hold you dear, and I'm glad I'm spending Christmas with Jesus Christ this year. I sent you each a memory of my undying love, the gift of love which is more precious than gold, and it was always most important in the stories Jesus told. Please love and keep each other as my Father said to do, for I cannot count the blessings or love he has for each of you. So have a Merry Christmas and wipe away that tear. Remember, I'm spending Christmas with Jesus Christ this year. Today we lit the fourth Advent candle, the candle called Love, and it is known as also as the Angel's Candle, and it reminds us of their message of peace on earth, goodwill toward men. Another poet wrote these words, titled In Christ All Men May Live Again. Let us all remember when our faith is running low, Christ is more than just a figure wrapped in ethereal glow. For he came and dwelt among us, and he knows our every need, and he loves and understands us and forgives each sinful deed. He was crucified and buried and rose again in glory, and his promise of salvation makes a wonderful Christmas story, an abiding reassurance that the little Christ child's birth was the beautiful beginning of God's plan for peace on earth. In 2001, following the events of 9/11, Billy Graham wrote these words in his Christmas card, and I think they're still poignant for even today, 19 years later. Billy Graham said, "Once again, the season when we sing peace on earth has arrived, yet the world seems to be moving further and further away from peace and goodwill. The last few months of 2001 have been turbulent ones. The world is filled with strife. Never has the gospel been more needed than at this Christmas. Only the Prince of Peace can bring true peace to this earth. As believers, our hearts can be at peace, filled with courage, knowing that God has a plan and that Christ of Christmas will ultimately triumph. The hope of life and the fear of death have been with us since the dawn of time. But no one knows what the future holds, except only our Heavenly Father, who has orchestrated all of human history to culminate in the coming of His Son. In the knowledge of that God is in control, we have peace and security, if we know Christ as our Lord and Savior. Only Jesus Christ can cleanse the sin-burdened hearts of men and women. Only He can break down barriers of enmity and bring unity to our world. On that first Christmas night, the angels appeared to shepherds on a hill near Bethlehem and declared, 'Glory to God in the highest, on an earth peace, goodwill toward men.' Today we can declare to the world that the Good Shepherd cares for all people and wants to give them peace." So Christmas is all about peace and love, and we know love came down at Christmas. His name was Jesus. So I want to ask, how will you celebrate Christmas this year with a focus on God's love and on peace on earth, goodwill toward men? It's important that we emphasize that, but we share the love and we share the peace of God with those around us. In a true story from Kathy Levine, I'd like to read her words of what took place when her mother died a few years back. "When my mother died at the age of 84, my four sisters and I were heartbroken. We could, how could we get over the loss of this warm and loving woman, a talented artist who enjoyed life in spite of the challenges and always doted on her husband, her daughters, and her granddaughters? For weeks after, my sisters and I would meet for dinner, laughing and crying over old memories. When it came time to sell the home my mother loved, we spent many days in disbelief, clearing out her belongings. I remembered reading an Ann Landers column years earlier that discussed how many siblings fight bitterly over the possessions left by their deceased parents. I thought how lucky we are, this will never happen to us. Somehow we easily and peacefully divided Mom's belongings, furniture, jewelry, household items, among ourselves and a few charities. Although I expected there might be a tug of war over her paintings, that never happened. Pretty good considering there were 5 daughters and 4 grandchildren. No conflicts, squabbles, or disputes at all, until we discovered the old nativity set in the box in Mom's closet. I remembered Mom telling the story of how she acquired the manger. An old friend had did carpentry work, gave it to my mom and dad as a Christmas gift when they first got married. My sister Eileen, however, remembers it differently. Mom told her she found the creche in a garbage can belonging to Mrs. Bingham, the elderly lady who lived across the street from us. Unlike some of the ornate versions found in today's stores, this manger was crafted from dark wood and completely unadorned. Just a roof, a floor, and a railing around it. Though beautifully crafted, there was one flaw. One side of the double gate in front was lopsided. Mom filled it with 3 figurines to start, Mary, Joseph, and baby Jesus. For many years after, she continued to add others, the wise men, shepherds, then angels, and animals. As kids, we loved the annual rites of the Christmas season, especially taking the nativity set and decorations down from the attic and carefully putting them in place. When the sisters all married and grandchildren came along, they added new characters of their own to the stable, including a set of 3 little pigs. After Mom's death, when the nativity set emerged, no one was prepared for the battle that would follow. My sister Joan was the first to claim the manger, insisting it was the only one of Mom's possessions that she really wanted. Her wish was granted. But when my niece Mandy found out, she called from her apartment in California to voice her opposition. She was clearly emotional as she repeated a decades-old promise made by her by my mother. "Nanny promised me that I could have the nativity set when she was gone," she cried. "The nativity set belongs to me." Joanne felt strongly that as Mom's daughter, she had first dibs. Neither she nor Mandy would budge. Something had to be done. Either the family entered the family arbitrator, my sister Eileen, who somehow saw through the fog. But as Mandy's mother and as Joanne's sister, could Eileen handle this dilemma fairly? Temporarily, she set aside the emotion of the dispute and thought logically. The nativity set was just a wooden stable, not an irreplaceable masterpiece of art. The beauty was in the eye of the beholders, the perception of the 2 people who coveted a simple item owned by someone they loved. Couldn't a copy be created? Of course. She would order the wood from the lumber yard and get someone to build a second manger. The following day, Eileen went to the millwork and stood in line behind several contractors ordering lumber from a young man with a crew cut. He was wearing a tag with his name, Brett, written in green magic marker. When Eileen turned, she came in. She said and shouted over the sound of the buzzing saws that she pointed to the manger in their arms, and she told them the story, and explaining that it was a cause of major rift between her sister Joanne and her daughter Mandy. Brett took the stable from her, held it up with one hand, and laughed, "You're fighting over this?" "Yes," Eileen explained. "I know it seems crazy, but it was my mother's, and they both loved her very much. Is there any way that you could measure and cut some wood so that we could have a duplicate built?" Brett said, "Leave it here. I'll see what I can do." Eileen left, hoping that he could come up with a minor miracle. That's what it would take to satisfy 2 women in her life who were squabbling. A few days later, she received a phone call message saying that the order was ready. When Eileen arrived at the hardware store to pick up the wood, she couldn't believe what she saw. 2 identical stables sitting side by side. Brett had not only cut and measured the wood, but he built a second one. "I know you wanted them to look the same, so I added a couple of dings and flaws that were there in the original. Hope that's okay." Eileen couldn't believe her eyes, and she offered to pay him immediately. "Your work has saved the day." "That will be $3.75 for the materials," Brett said. Eileen insisted on paying him more, but he said, "No, I didn't do it on company time. I built it at home so I wouldn't have to charge you for the labor. He pointed to the new manger. I hope this helps your family have a merrier Christmas. Aline left Brett with a large tip and a big hug of thanks. And when she got home, she called Joanne and Mandy about the creative solution. They were very happy and extremely relieved that the problem was resolved. One phone call later, Joanne and Mandy had agreed that Joanne would take possession of the new stable as well as some of the old figurines, including Mary, Joseph, and the infant. Mandy would get to keep the original, just then Nanny promised. Love and peace prevailed. There are options. There are possibilities when we think beyond outside the box. And for us, Jesus was our arbitrator. He came to provide a solution for the problem of mankind. He had the remedy to reconcile us to Lord Jesus Christ, came to help us to be reconciled to God the Father. Luke here gives us this classic story that's read. It is the gospel, according to him, of that first Christmas. These are classic words. Maybe you remember them being read on the Peanuts special. It is a real story, the Christmas story. Real story about real people living in some real hard times. There was a census and taxes, just as we have today. It's been a long history on the planet Earth with censuses and taxes, having just taken our own census. You know, they play a big part here in the Christmas story. Caesar Augustus says here, ordered that all the world should be registered. And so this is the reason that Joseph and Mary had to make their way to Bethlehem. Even though she was 9 months pregnant, can you imagine starting out on a trip on foot, on donkey, across dirt roads, making their way several miles to Bethlehem? They had to go because of the registration. They had to be registered in order to pay their tax, and they had to do it in the hometown of their family's birth. And so it was mandatory. They didn't have a choice. They had to start out, even though she was about ready to deliver. I'm sure they would have stayed in Nazareth if they had a choice, but yet the prophets predicted many centuries before that it would be in Bethlehem that the Messiah would be born. From Micah 5:2, "But you, Bethlehem Ephrathah, though you are little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of you shall come forth to me the one to be ruler in Israel, whose goings forth are from of old, from everlasting." God showed his love to us by making peace with us, by making it possible for us to be reconciled with him. One of the rewards of forgiveness is love. People who ask for forgiveness for the wrong that they have done will experience the love that comes from a deepened relationship. And so God has forgiven us in and through his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And in light of that, how can we not forgive? When someone wrongs us, how can we hold it against them? How can we not forgive them? How can we not forgive ourselves when God forgives us? The Christmas story is a story of peace. It is a story of love. And God desires to bring peace on earth, goodwill toward men. God is a reconciling God, a loving God, our Heavenly Father. And so love came down at that first Christmas. It is the gift of Christmas, love. The love of God and the peace of God through our Lord Jesus Christ. You know that famous scripture that everyone can quote, John 3:16, but also verse 17. "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but through the world, through him, the world might be saved." If you've never received this gift, what better time than Christmas? What better time to say yes to a loving God? I received these words from a Christmas card. It says that the greatest gift cannot be purchased in a store or ordered from a catalog, or we might add ordered online. It can't be wrapped in a pretty package with a fancy bow, but it can be seen in the eyes of a child, heard in the words of kindness, and felt in the embrace of a friend. At Christmas, I wish for you and send to you this precious gift of love. Christmas is about love and peace, goodwill toward men on earth. What does Christmas mean to you? Poet writes, far away in Bethlehem, a baby boy was born with neither riches nor with fame. Yet wise men came from all around to bring him their gifts, and peace was felt by all who heard his name. Angels watched him as he slept and gently rocked his bed, their voices singing softly in his ear. His mother and his father both gave thanks to God above for the greatest gift of all, their son so dear. They knew his life upon this earth would be filled with what would not be filled with wealth. They also knew he would encounter strife. But most of all, they knew that he would be a loving child and teach the love of God throughout his life. At Christmas, we celebrate this birth of Jesus Christ, so let's keep in mind the truth of Christmas Day, where it's not the Christmas wrappings, nor not the gifts that lie within, but our gift of love to others in every way. And so we want to say not only Merry Christmas, but we want to say Happy Birthday, Jesus. It's his birthday, and it's one that we need to celebrate, especially this year. And so may the love and the peace of God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit be with you and yours as we celebrate this Christmas. We have a chance to celebrate again that first Advent, and we also look forward to his second coming, his second Advent. And so may the love and peace of Jesus, who came down on that first Christmas, be yours in this pandemic year. Merry Christmas. Would you pray with me, please? Dear Heavenly Father, love incarnate, Holy Spirit, we rejoice in your presence on this special day, fourth Sunday of Advent, when we recall your love for us, and we celebrate again Christmas this year. Thank you, Lord, for the gift of your Son for all who believe, and the blessings of abundant and eternal life. We are overwhelmed by your love. We are amazed at your peace, which passes all understanding. So, Lord, thank you for love, the reward of generosity and gratefulness. Help our relationships, Lord, to deepen as we share that love with one another. I pray that your love and your peace will be seen and felt in our lives so that others will come to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. And while this Christmas might be a little different than those in the past, I pray that there be lots of good memories made. Help us, Lord, to celebrate it in a way that brings you glory and honor. I pray, Lord, that you would put a hedge protection of health around each family represented here in this congregation and as we celebrate Christmas and New Year's. And we just want to remember that it's the Lord Jesus Christ's birthday as he came into this world. And so we want to wish all a Merry Christmas. And all of God's people said, Amen. Amen. We will close our service with this carol, O Little Town of Bethlehem.
Still we see thee lying.
Praise God for his gift of love and joy, the Lord Jesus Christ. And now may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. May the Lord lift up his countenance and give you peace. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And all of God's people said,
Amen.
Amen. Merry Christmas.
Amen.